Hello there.
Hello there.
Welcome back to Star Wars in a Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Eli.
And today we are coming at you with installment number 112 of our chronological rewatch of just about everything Star Wars has to offer. We are continuing on with Jedi Fallen Order. We are going with the Gamer's Little Playground compilation of every single cutscene that this game has to offer. It is 3 hours and 40 minutes long in total. And today we are looking at 1 hour and 20 in to 2 hours in. So that is going back to Zepho for the second time, popping out to Ordo Aris, the station, and then back to part two of the missions on Kashyyyk. A lot of stuff happens in this chunk. We get some big reveals, some big character moments. We start out back on Zepho. Cal is navigating his way through the Empire's grasp. He's following,
Through the tomb of Mictral.
yeah, through the tomb of Nictral. He's following the clues left behind by, of course, the archaeologist himself, Master Cordova, until he runs into one second sister, also known as Trilla. She reveals that she was Seer's apprentice. They have a lengthy exchange. Cal is understandably shocked by this revelation, while Trilla tries to warn him that he might get betrayed as well, and not to befall the same fate that she did. They do battle. They do battle with their lightsabers, and Cal almost dies, but thanks to some quick thinking by BD-1, he escapes and continues his search through the tomb while on a lengthy phone call, basically, with Trilla, essentially. Eventually he makes it out. However, he is ambushed and captured by the Huntsman. The Huntsman is some sort of bounty hunter who takes him to the space station of Ordo Aris, where he is made to gladiate against vicious beasts. And once again, the Huntsman, at the behest of Sork Tormo, he does defeat the Huntsman this time. And just in the nick of time, Greasy Money and the Mantis come crashing in to rescue him, and they go back to Kashyyyk now with a contact to be able to find Tarful. However, once they get to Kashyyyk, Cal is accosted by the ninth sister, who almost shoots Cal out of the trees with her ship. However, Cal is saved by a giant Shio bird. Did I write
Yeah,
that down
that's
right?
fine. Shio
He
Shio, yeah.
is saved by a giant Shio bird, this giant vulture-like bird, who basically swats the TIE Reaper out of the sky. And then we end off on Cal going with the Shio bird, helping remove a piece of the ship from its leg, and then finding out about Cordova's discovery of the Astrium. Anything else to add, Eli?
No, I'll just say that nothing else possibly bad could ever happen to that bird. Not, I'm not spoiling anything for next week, but nothing bad will ever happen to that bird ever again. So
Okay,
it's good to know that.
that's the last thing I wanted to hear, because
Yeah.
I was getting to be a fan of the Shio birds. I was.
Yeah. No. Nice bird. Shame if something were to happen to it. What was I gonna say? But yeah, we got a really. I said in my closing thoughts on this. It's probably the most diverse story-wise and location-wise and like thematically wise that we've gotten in this game. It's the most varied. It's the most like we go a lot here. This 40 minutes pulls a lot of weight. This definitely
We do,
feels
yeah.
like end of Act One, beginning of Act Two of this game.
I mean, I think the Trilla reveal, obviously, is a major turning point, and we see how that kind of tears Cal and Seer's relationship asunder, with no clear indication of when that's going to be. when that's going to be patched up, if it is, you know?
I did the math. It's revealed about 40% of the way through the game, which I think is about right for this sort of twist. It's you know, like, just in terms of narrative structure, I think it's a there's a, some really interesting. It's a we'll talk about it more when we get to it, which will be pretty soon. But I will not sing that twist's praises enough. But anything you have before the lightsaber duel and the twist?
I love the dark cave exploration scenes. I really like how they use just Cal's lightsaber and BD's light, and you have to find your way just using those. Also, shout out to the Zeta class transport that we see taking off. Shout out to Rogue One, where that ship originated from. Nice little tie-in there.
Yeah, shout out to Rogue
Also,
One, or not. You could also just not.
I will shout out Rogue One, Eli. I know you don't. I know you won't shout out Rogue One. But I love Rogue One, and I will shout it out, even though you somehow think that it's mid, and you say that at every possible opportunity.
Just
No,
like
you
doing it at this point.
behind the scenes, guys, anyone who's listening, just to, behind the scenes, Eli, anytime Rogue One is mentioned, Eli comes right in with the mid one. Like it's beyond a
I
joke
don't
at this point. It's
actually
just
hate
a
it.
reflex.
I don't
Oh, I know,
actually
Eli. I
hate
know.
it. It's a bit. Is it my least favorite live action Star Wars film? Yes, it is. But do I hate it? No.
Is
I
it the
there's some.
best? Is it the best live action Star Wars movie from the Disney era? Yes, it is. I will stand on that. I'm sorry, Eli. I'm sorry. I have to stand. I have to stand on
Not
that
even
one
the
for
best
myself.
spin-off movie.
Oh. Oh, this is a conversation for another time. This is the Thunderdome right here. We could go all day on this subject, but we gotta
Yeah.
keep on schedule for now. I love the scene of the joke tell the BD telling the joke. Cal says, "Oh, BD, got any jokes?" And then we don't even get
Don't even
to hear
hear
what
the
the joke
joke.
is. It's straight up episode four, just entire scenes of C-3PO and R2-D2 talking. We only hear one side of the conversation. I love
Yeah,
it.
it
Very
that's so
campy.
incredibly goofy.
It's
Yeah,
very campy. It's very goofy. It feels like a throwback. I love
it
that. I
is.
love that moment. The grease humor. I feel a pit in my stomach, and this time I don't think it's grease.
The
It's cooking.
grease is
You know,
cooking.
moments like that. But I mean, come on. It's all about the second sister. I
I
will
will just say
say.
one thing before we get to the fight, which is just
Okay.
that
Yeah.
when we hear in the holograms Dee Bradley Baker's voice as the clone troopers, that's a nice surprise.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
just nice to hear that voice again, because obviously we've heard a lot in TCW and Bad Batch. But going on, we're going to start hearing that voice less and less and less. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I
We're
mean,
gonna.
I do like. I was a big fan of the Clone Wars wreckage, you know, all the little things that they kind of put in. Not as, you know, nods to the Clone Wars, you know, the kind of like seeing this graveyard of sorts of the Clone
Yeah.
Wars. You know, I really like when they do things like that. I
It
will
was really
say,
cool in retrospective of the TCW finale, because the graveyard that they made out of those clone helmets on Zeppo looks like the one that Ahsoka made out of the clone helmets at the end of Victory and Death.
yeah, again, Eli, what do we say? It's like poetry, you know,
It
every
rhymes.
stanza sort of rhymes with the
Yeah.
last.
Even though this was made first. Even though this was made first.
It's been too long since we got to
Yeah.
say that.
Hopefully it'll work.
I mean, I like the fight. I love the dialogue. I will say one thing about, I think one thing that really holds JFO back for me and these games back, and it's not a big thing, but it's just something I was thinking about, is, you know, video games as a, I guess this is kind of the thing, is that we are viewing this not necessarily as a game, because we're watching, you know, we're
They're
watching it
cutscenes, yeah.
as a TV show, as an extended movie, some kind of a special, you know, which makes it I think that I really enjoy doing it this way, probably more so than if I actually had to play through it, because my days of being able to get really good at video games, I feel like are just kind of behind me, just because of how I like to spend my time now. But that's neither here nor there. My point is, I feel like we are kind of disadvantaging Jedi Fallen Order because we're not really consuming it in the way that it is supposed to be experienced. That being said, so for that reason, I do cut it some slack, because we are viewing it as just a storytelling medium for the story and the experience rather than the game as a whole. That being said, I don't like how the dialogue goes from super, high quality, riveting, cinematic, really, really amazingly executed dialogue and voice acting to, as soon as the fight actually starts, you get these weird, kind of canned quip snippets from the bosses that are kind of just repeated over and over, kind of just like, I'm, they all said, "I'm gonna make you bleed. That tit was nothing." I don't know anything about designing video games or making it. So this is not to say, hey, you guys did a bad job to anyone who worked on this, because it's obviously a tremendous game, and I have had a bit of fun playing it myself at times. But I do feel like I would very much appreciate, more dynamic or fluid dialogue during the fights. Maybe Cal could talk back, maybe it could add to the story a bit more. It would be hard to execute, but that's one thing that I would really like to see, because that is the one thing that really kind of takes me out of it. No matter how good the story is, no matter how riveting this part of JFO was, that was the one thing that I felt was lacking. But I've gone on about it enough. What do you think about this? Was it a problem for you?
I'll get on
Was it
my
a
high horse a
non-issue?
little bit right now. So, for those of you who don't know, I'm in college right now, and I'm actually taking a class about video games and video game culture
Oh, so
and
you're the
video
expert
games
here.
as a medium. And I think it's and I'm gonna say some things that might sound like I'm talking about you. I swear I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like just various critics of them of video games as a medium,
Yeah,
because there are a
understood,
lot of people
understood.
who criticize video games as a medium, which I think is ridiculous, because I think that video games can be as effective as a medium as film and television, which especially applies here because we're watching all three of those. Yeah, I think that I probably game more than you do. I think that's a bigger part of my life than it is Jacob's. I don't want to speak for you, but like, so
I
like
think that's fair.
there is a like the I can't forget. There's no disconnecting watching these cutscenes again from memories of playing the game for me. Like, it's kind of just part of it. Do I notice things like the transitions when there's just more mundane gameplay that they're skipping through? Of course I do. It's hard to miss that. But like the those canned lines which are in both Jedi games. Do I think they're great? No. But for me, they kind of just come with the territory. Like it's kind of like what you expect. And are they good? I no. Am I defending them? No. Do they matter that much to me? No, they don't. And I think that, as you said, it's a harder thing to execute in video games. I'm certainly not saying letting them completely off the hook for that. At the same time, there are some great moments in this game separate from those things, and obviously most of them happen in the cutscenes. And for example, one of the things, and I will say that, like, generally speaking, even though the duels in this game, in both Jedi games, are fun, they have a harder time convincing me of being top lightsaber duels, like general, like cinematically wise, just because a lot of it is about control, and a lot of it is about how you personally fight. There is one exception to that. There is a duel that I think no matter if, regardless of how you play, and it's not in this game, it's in Survivor, is one of the greatest duels in Star Wars history. And major spoiler for Survivor, but I don't care at this point. It's been out for how long? 5, 6 months? Oh, yeah, anyway, I'll say it. I think one of the best Star Wars duels ever has happened in one of these games, and it's the duel between Ser Jundah and Darth Vader in Jedi
Yeah.
Survivor. It's so good, and there's so many great dynamics to it. And of course, we'll get to that when we're covering Survivor. I will say that I do like this specific duel with Second Sister, just because, from a gameplay perspective specifically, and from this, and you can pretty like. You can stitch this together with, there's some good ludonarrative resonance with this stuff, which is the idea that this is your first real lightsaber duel in the game. The training wheels that you had on Braca are off.
Yeah.
Like, Braca, you can make it out of that duel no matter how bad you do. Braca is the equivalent of a tutorial level for this game, so you can make it off due to, despite how bad you're doing. Here, not so much. This is like obviously you get saved any way you slice it, but you still have to survive it long enough to get her down far enough to you have to survive long enough to get her down far enough to get saved by BD1 and to trigger the cutscene.
Yeah, you do. It's yeah, like you said, the
So
training wheels are off.
the training wheels are off. No one can save Cal this time, and nobody can save Trilla this time. It's just the two of them. It's it, it there there's. There's no distractions, no extraneous, except for BD1, of course. But like, other than that, it is just a straight up lightsaber duel, and I admire the raw gravity of that.
I do agree. I do agree. I do think it is very good, and I think my point about my kind of complaint about the dialogue is not to detract from that, but
Yeah.
just,
No, I get it.
I do think that it does, undercut maybe a little bit
It's goofy, no denying it.
the gravity of the situation.
It
Like, it is a little
is.
bit goofy, and maybe that's just,
Yeah.
I guess that's just the ex that's the experience of playing a video game. So
Yeah,
ultimately, I
it.
can't fault it for that too much, but I think it comes through more in this format where we're just watching these cutscenes,
Absolutely. I completely understand that. One thing to say, I think we're both so desperate to get to this twist.
Oh yeah. So after the ray shield goes up,
They never
oh
would have
man.
found me if it wasn't for her.
Oh man,
It
the
is
trailer reveal scene.
such like God bless the writers of this game specifically just for this. There are some things later in the sequence that I'm not crazy about, but they're all made up for by this. This twist that Second Sister, that Trilla never died, and she's alive, and the Second Sister, and that she blames Seer for her own fall is such a rich and deep twist that they have to quickly turn Cal against Seer. To turn Cal against Trilla in a more personal way. And to, and also to develop Seer's arc as well. It is, like, it gives a momentum to Trilla's dynamic that it didn't have before, at least from Cal's perspective.
Yeah, this really, I feel like it is, and I did know this twist,
Yeah.
obviously, even though I hadn't really experienced the full story of this game before, but this absolutely kind of juices up the stakes
Yeah.
so much. It's so juicy now that we know, now that we really know that it's all out in the open, and
Yeah.
that is pretty amazing.
And there's that extra level of vulnerability, which plays into one of Star Wars' most classic symbols, which is the helmet.
Yeah.
Because often helmets in Star Wars, regardless of who they're worn by, mask true intentions. They cover up who somebody really is inside. And the Second Sister taking off her helmet is, she has this been this demonic force that has been pursuing Cal, but
Yeah.
She's not a demon. She's a human.
Yeah. Yeah, we see all of a sudden, you know. Yeah, the mask is taken off. It's pretty, it's as in your face as the symbolism can get, you know, all of a sudden. And this is when, you know, obviously we have this reveal, you know, we see now she feels that she was the one who was wronged, you know, and it's really interesting kind of, and it's really cool how they do this, I think, where a lot of it is all of a sudden out in the open. You know, we
Yeah.
know that we know something happened with
It's
Trilla. We know that
my
maybe
favorite
the wrong
kind of
choices were made,
twist.
but we
It's my
still
favorite.
it's you're still
My
left
favorite.
wanting more, you know?
Yeah,
It's not
it's my favorite
it's not
kind of
resolved.
twist, where you where if you look back at it, it was evident the whole time, but you had no way of figuring it out until
Dare I say it, there's still more layers to be peeled
now. Peeled
back.
back, you know. No,
Well after this reveal, which I like as well.
and Cal and Seer are going to get there. Not this chunk, because Seer pulls a Carth Onassi and doesn't want to talk about it. But we'll get there. We will get there. We'll see flashbacks. We'll see more of Seer's journey in the past, and of course Trilla's journey to the dark side. Yeah, there's a like there. What I also love about this, and this is something I'm thinking of, which is the idea that Cal spent 5 years trusting no one after Order 66. And now he finally puts his trust in somebody. And then they're revealed to have forced their last apprentice to the dark side.
Or so the apprentice says.
Or so the
Oh, reveal,
apprentice says.
reveal.
But and then but Seer then admits it. But then Seer admits it. So, like, you know, again, I'm not taking Trilla's side. I'm just saying, like, that is true, that part of why Trilla fell was because,
Yeah,
you know,
Seer's bad decisions.
yeah, and
Yeah,
Seer, yeah.
undoubtedly.
And so, of course, Cal does the thing that he hadn't done in years, and then the first time he does it, fails fantastically.
Yeah, it does fail
And,
him. Yeah.
you know, it is, you know, am I doomed? Do I trust Seer? Who have I been manipulated by more, Seer or the Empire? We know the answers. The audience knows the answers. Am I doomed? No. Do I trust Seer? Yes. Who I've been I've been manipulated more by, Seer or the Empire? Oh, you mean the lady who told one lie to you, or the government that made your entire religious and ethnic group go extinct?
Yeah.
I wonder which one you trust less.
Well, I mean, he does kind of also he kind of makes the choice, you know, for his own dedication and for the mission, you know. He you know, there's that moment that I think that I find a very meaningful moment, you know, when they're on the ship and Seer just says, later, Cal, later. And then Cal
Yeah.
kind of Cal agrees, and he just says, later, now we have a lead. We're going back to Kashyyyk. And I
Yeah,
think
and I think that, what was I gonna say? I think that
we see Cal's dedication to the cause, you know?
he has that dedication to the cause, and I think that it's interesting because you know, so Trilla obviously said that to push him towards a darker path, but then he goes to Kashyyyk and picks, honestly, probably the lightest path he's picked in the game, defending life, doing all this kind of stuff, doing this very Jedi stuff, which is very interesting. There's also this line, "What would your master think if he could see his Padawan now, skulking in the shadows with a betrayal?" Which, I love this line so goddamn much, because you think you know who this psychological manipulation is directed towards, but no, you don't. You think it's directed towards Cal, and I'm here to tell you that it's directed as Trill at Trilla herself as much as it is directed at Cal.
What do you mean? Is it Trilla rationalizing what happened? Do you mean it's Trilla rationalizing what happened by putting it all on her master? What do you mean by
Yes,
that?
actually, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm saying that Frilla is like obviously she's putting it in the words to try and attack Cal, but like if you take out that first part, like what if what would you like if you just replace Seer, what would Seer think if she saw me now, you know, skulking in the shadows with the people who brought down the order?
Yeah.
Like, look at what I've done.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
The Empire and others are trying to convince her otherwise, but she is as broken on the inside as Cal and Seer both are. It's one of the I saw this, I forget exactly who I saw this on Twitter, but if anybody can find this, and I'll try to find it, and if I can, I'll link it down in the description. But like there somebody was talking about the idea of that all the characters in this game are broken. Cal, Seer, Prilla. When we meet Marin, that'll be true of her too. And
Not uncommon for Star Wars.
yeah, but this game specifically is about brokenness, and about how those four people try and fail to try and fix each other up. And it's yeah, and that's the emotional core of this game for me, is the finding people who have also been broken, who also share past traumas, who also share this feeling of isolation and aloneness. And that's what Trilla tries to do with Cal here. And of course what she's trying to convince herself about, that she made the right choice, and that it's Seer's fault that she because here's the thing. It did Seer help fail Trilla? Did Seer put Trilla on the path to to darkness? Yeah, she did. But whose decision was it for Trilla to go to the dark side? It was her own. No matter what happens, ultimately, your decision to go to the dark side will always be your own decision. There are definitely things that can influence you, and those can be discussed and argued to death, as many have with certain Star Wars characters that I will not mention on this show. But ultimately, the decision to go to the dark side is always up to the person, unless there's like some sort of magic spiritual thing involved. We're talking about like Savage Opress or some shit.
Yeah, well, I
It's
think
always
that
the person's decision to do that.
you're right to an extent. I think that also there's always an element, or in many cases of characters in Star Wars, you know, falling to the dark side, I think we see kind of this shared narrative that the fallen character has of externalizing everything that's happened to them and rationalizing it, whether or not they felt that way at the time, regardless of what actually happened, rationalizing what they did as if they had no choice. Or there's actually two ways, because on the other hand, you know, we see at some points, you know, some people really embracing it, you know, like Kylo Ren saying to Han Solo, you know, Ben Solo is gone. He was weak and foolish, so I destroyed them. And Trilla definitely falls into the former category, obviously, where she, you know, she is putting it all, she is rationalizing what she still, despite her allegiance to the dark side, what she doesn't know is wrong of her to do on some level. She is rationalizing it that she had no choice, that it was not her fault, that it wasn't her,
Yeah,
you know, it was the actions of other people that not
putting
even
it on
forced her to do that, that just caused that to happen to her.
because
That's how it's
blaming
rationalized.
Seer, because blaming Seer, to your point, and as we talked about with the reverse last episode, blaming Seer is easier than facing the truth.
Yeah.
Part of this was her decision. A big part of this was her decision. Did Seer cause it? Absolutely, but the decision was still, I mean, of course Trilla was tortured, and I'm not trying to minimize that. But it was still her decision. It's still her decision to keep wearing that helmet. It's still her decision. Everything that she does in this game is ultimately still her decision.
Yeah,
And
and I think something there's actually something that can kind of help us understand this in the book of, if we go back to Legends, to the book of Sith, that little red handbook that I love so much, Palpatine says, you know, they're when you're turning someone, there comes a point when you put them in a moment, you put them in a moment of profound crisis, you know, a moment when they do something, they commit an act that is unforgivable, you know, or they do something
They
that they
go
can't
too far.
rationalize, they go too far, and at that point, you know, it's almost like
It's fish in a barrel.
it's easier to just dig your hole deeper. If it look, if there's anything, if we can form a real world metaphor, if there's anything that we've learned from from the rise of a certain Cheeto colored short fingered politician in the past 7 years, it's that to his supporters, you know, you never have to face the people telling you that digging the hole is stupid. If you just don't look up and never stop digging, then you never have to admit that you shouldn't have been digging in the first place. I think a similar thing is true here. It's like, you know, yeah, it's exactly like that, I think.
Nothing the news says could possibly impact you if you decide it's fake.
Yeah, like just keep, if you, and I think that's kind of what Trilla does, where it's like she almost, because like she has clearly been inflicted with, she has clearly undergone terrible, terrible things physically, emotionally, and psychologically that have put her in her current state. But, you know, she doesn't want to face that she also was a part of that. And not necessarily, not even necessarily, let's take it out of, you know, responsibility of falling to the dark side, since I think that is kind of, that is not even really what it's about, you know, since we can go on and on about that and say, well, you know, it's not about your choice to go to the dark side, since I think in some respects that often doesn't feel like a choice, and in that person's subjective reality, it's not necessarily a choice at all. I think what it's really about is, you know, once you make that choice, you know, of feeling like you can't go back, in reality, you, in Star Wars, you know, you always can go back, and in the real world, it's never too late to do something, even if you still have to atone for what you've done, you know, or whatever. I mean, look at Anakin, you know, look at Return of the Jedi. So I think in that regard, putting it in terms of responsibility or choice is not even the most helpful. When we're talking about Treya, we need to think about, you know, sorry, did I say Treya? God,
Yeah,
jeez.
you did. I will not
Trilla.
have that named uttered
Dude.
uttered on my goddamn show.
Sorry, I've got Galaxy of Heroes on the brain today.
Yeah, that's fine.
I got a
Make sure
Galaxy
it's
of
that you
Heroes.
have and not
No,
KOTOR fucking
it's not
two.
KOTOR. It's not KOTOR 2, Eli. You know me. Eli, you know me better than that.
I
You
know,
know me better
I
than that.
know,
No
I know.
disrespect to KOTOR 2. I
All
don't know it very
disrespect to
well.
KOTOR two. I hate KOTOR two way more than I hate Rogue One. But
What I'm,
Yeah,
yeah.
so and welcome Jared on the show next week where I can say that you can't do anything to stop me, motherfucker.
Well, I guess
Anyway.
what I'm trying to say to sum up here is that, how do I put this? It's not about the choice to go to the dark side, but it's about when you are pushed to do that, and regardless of what external factors are there, the reality is that you have done something. Regardless of whether it's your fault or not, you know, all kinds of discussions can be had about that. I think it's really about how you respond, and it's not about the choice to go to the dark side or to betray your initial ideals. It's about what you have, the pain that you have then inflicted on other people. It's about confronting that, and Trilla doesn't want to confront that, and that's what
Absolutely.
it's really about.
I think you make a really great point. Oh yeah. Trilla hacking Cal's comm is maybe the best thing ever. I love it so much. It's one of the most unintentionally hilarious things ever because it shows to me how obsessed she is with breaking him. I'm like, I like calm down, girl. Like, dear God. Like it's like
Look.
you don't have to monitor him
Yeah,
every fucking second just because you can't.
I've said it before, and I will say it again. Star Wars villains are just messy bitches who live for the drama.
Oh,
I mean,
100
look,
fucking percent.
she hacks his phone, Like she literally just hacks his phone basically, and then instead of tracking him down and capturing him or destroying him, she just uses it to talk shit to him for 30 minutes and just listen to everything that he's doing and just pop in to be like, "You suck. I'm gonna get you. You suck. Seer sucks. You all suck."
It's
It's
hilarious,
hilarious to
and
me.
I love how you said they're messy bitches who love drama because because she learns from the best, which is Anakin motherfucking Skywalker. And of course, we'll
Yeah.
talk about this in two seasons when we get to this. Season 16 of In a Galaxy will be this, and I'm very excited about it. But fucking part three of Obi-Wan Kenobi, where Anakin fucking Skywalker lifts Obi-Wan Kenobi up with the Force, and what does he do with him? He burns him. How's
Oh,
that feel? How's that feel?
this is the same Darth Vader who in Rogue One, in even Eli, in your beloved hallway scene. I know you can like that
Yes.
from Rogue One. I know you can like
Yeah,
the
that's my
hallway
favorite
scene.
scene of I that's my favorite scene from that movie.
In this hallway scene, he turns off all the lights on his life
All the
support,
lights.
presumably turning
So the
off his life support so that he can turn on the lightsaber and have an epic reveal. Not only that, when the Tantive IV escapes and he's standing there out on that little plank, like presumably he's in the vacuum of space
space, but he's
and
just
his
vibing
cape
there to
is
have a
rippling. His cape is, so the only conclusion, suspend disbelief, it's Star Wars, but the logical conclusion is that he is using the Force to make his cape ripple in that moment just to get the perfect, just to get the perfect angle. Because one of his stormtroopers is like, he's probably got one of his stormtroopers on camera duty at all times.
Oh,
Like,
absolutely,
take this
yeah.
picture, send it
Prop
to the Emperor, make
propaganda
sure I
footage and shit like
prop
that,
it, make
yeah.
sure I look good, take my
Yeah.
angles right, and
But
send them to the Emperor
yeah,
and
all of that is great,
put him
but
on the
still
holonet.
the top moment for me is Vader capturing Obi-Wan Kenobi, not killing him, instead doing the same thing that Obi-Wan did to him 10 years ago just because he can.
Yeah.
Like that is some messy ass bitch stuff. It's fantastic. Speaking of Obi-Wan Kenobi, when Cal says to Seer, "You're no," Cal says to Trilla, "You're a monster," and then Trilla responds, "I am what Seer made me, and I know it came first. I know it came. This one came first, but I'm sorry. Obi-Wan Kenobi did it better. I'm sorry, Jedi Fallen Order. Obi-Wan Kenobi just did it better. I am what you made me with Anakin and Obi-Wan. It's just better. I'm sorry. You tried."
Naturally.
But what am I gonna say? So yeah. After Trilla cuts off the comm connection with Cal, he starts falling midair, and right in midair as he's falling, we get, what do we get, Jacob? We get
Another flashback.
another flashback, which I always love.
Yeah.
Your lightsaber lies there, out of reach, but you can remain connected through the Force. The Force connects everything. We hear Obi-Wan say this. One of the first things that Ben says in New Hope, it binds us. It penetrates us. I know it
Surrounds
said
us, penetrates
it
us, and
sounds
binds the
surrounds
galaxy together.
sir. Wow, yeah,
Guess I'm not
surrounds
the only
us.
one forgetting my Star Wars basics today.
No, absolutely. I've been slacking on New Hope recently. I gotta rewatch New Hope. For some reason,
Yeah.
I surrounds us, it penetrates us, it binds the galaxy together. I thought it would. The thing in my head was binds, penetrates, binds, and I knew that wasn't correct because I knew he didn't repeat anything. But yeah, like everything has some, at least has some tangential connection with something else in the universe. In Star Wars Galaxy, our own, like it could be a bad thing, but more often than not, it's a beautiful thing. Cal needs to relearn that. He needs those connections more than ever. And that's what Trilla's trying to do. That Trilla's trying to isolate him yet again. And a Jedi cannot be isolated. A Jedi must be connected to the universe. That's why isolate doesn't work on that's why isolate is specifically bad for Jedi and Galaxy of Heroes, because they need to be connected with each other to get those debuffs out. Anyway.
Jeez. Oh, jeez.
I decided to make a
Oh,
joke
jeez.
out of that one to see when you'd notice that one.
Little Galaxy of Heroes humor.
Yeah.
Very niche
In
audience.
and outside, in and outside Galaxy of Heroes, fuck Darth Thread. Anyway.
Hey, Treya? Omicron Treya? If you know, you know, bro. Three
Omitreya is
oceans,
it,
get him out of here.
Omitreya. I hate to admit that I've omied her, but I've omied her.
Hey man, dude, my Gear 11 Treya team has no problem with R3, R5 Geo teams on offense.
That's fantastic. I think I have Treya at 12, and yeah, I can pretty much deal with any relic Geonosians. Geonosians, no fucking problem. I think I can actually do that without the Omicron, but it just makes it easier.
Well, the Omicron gives all
The
the
extra
Omicron
prime.
gives the extra damage, huge amounts of damage, and Geonosians, they're assisting every turn.
No, that's not what the Omicron does.
That's not wait, hold up. Have I been using wait. What does the Omicron do?
The
Am I stupid?
Omicron grants the extra prod.
Still very good for that team.
Oh, it is. I'm not. I'm just saying the assisting out of turn. I'm pretty sure is the Zeta.
Oh.
It's not the Omicron.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
So
Anyways,
yeah,
back
point
to
being,
the matter at hand.
yeah. Let's
Yeah.
talk about Ordo Eris,
Let's talk about Ordo Eris. I don't really have much to say here.
which by the way, the Huntsman, respect his game, but he Cal didn't get knocked down in the gamer's little playground cutscene montage by the goat bounty hunter of this game. And there's many playthroughs. I think my first playthrough, I was knocked out by this guy. But there's a bounty hunter named Bagonk, who
Bagonk.
has the funniest name in Star Wars, Bagonk. And it should have been Bagonk. That's my two cents on that. It should have fucking been Bagonk. Look, Ordo Aeris works great as a narrative jolt, and that's pretty much all it does. It's literally there for 5 minutes of the game's cutscene montage. The game's cutscene montage is over 3.5 hours. There's literally no reason for it to be there.
All it is just hey. Hey, have a break from all the heavy stuff. Just have some fun slicing up some animals real fast. That's all it is.
I tried to glean as much as I could from it, but like really, I said this in my notes, it feels like a DLC level. That's
Yeah.
what it feels like.
I don't know. I could have gone without this, honestly. It didn't need to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just a strange, I mean, location's cool, gameplay design's really cool, but from the narrative perspective, did not need to be there at all. Let's
Then
Kashyyyk too. One of the things I noticed, first of all, is how different the Shadowlands look in canon than Legends. Because remember when we were going through KOTOR, the Shadowlands were like this dark undergrowth of the forest and other kind of stuff. Pretty much like this one, there's not much visual distinction from the other parts of Kashyyyk. I mean, less Imperial stuff there, but that's really it. Like,
Yeah, no, that is pretty much it.
it
There's not
like
a
there's
whole
not as much of a
ton.
distinction, which is interesting. Tarful, this is the weird thing about Tarful, is that Tarful, I felt this every time I've played or watched anything related to this game. Do you feel like the Tarful stuff is just like it he's just kind of there. Like it's kind of underwhelming. Like there's no grand reveal or anything. Tarful's just kind of there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, I think it's all right, Definitely
Yeah.
not the most memorable part, but I mean, Ninth Sister flying in on her ship. My reaction, I literally just wrote down, "Oh God, not this again."
Ninth Sister is a character that doesn't really work for me throughout both of her appearances in the Jedi game. She is my Darth Maul of these two games, honestly, where I never really liked her to begin with, and then they brought her back and I liked her less. But we'll get to her in the duel, which is admittedly a great duel next episode. But we got a flashback. I forgot there was a flashback on Kashyyyk, which is the double jump. Good. Keep falling. Keep getting back up. That's the only
Oh
way
yeah,
to
that was
succeed.
amazing.
Yeah. Let go of what you fear to lose and rise up. Or as another Jedi master might say, a small and green one might say, do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah.
And then one final thing with like this around the story, which is that great line that Cal says to BD-1, the war never ended here, which I think is made retroactively so much better by Tribe, that episode of Bad Batch. where, you know, the Wookiees have been engaging in battle against the Empire and sometimes the Trandoshans, basically for 5 years nonstop. And we know that they basically won't stop until the Empire, like, they basically don't get a rest from it until the Empire is defeated.
Yeah. You know, look, I'll say it is what it is. I will say, however, one more thing. Rip Jar to Paul, you would have loved corny Instagram pages that totally misrepresent stoicism. You would have loved those alpha male pages. You would have. And we end with Cal getting the saber staff stance.
Oh, I didn't get that far in there, but yeah, you can do
Oh.
that on Dathomir as well.
Yeah,
You
you.
can do that on
That's
Dathomir as
an.
well. It's cool. It's made the Saber Staff is not very well balanced, in my opinion, in Fallen Order, but it's much better balanced in Survivor. Like pretty much in Fallen Order, there's not a ton of real advantage using the Saber Staff. Using the double-bladed lightsaber, but in Survivor, there's no one real one that's good. That's best. I mean, there's some that work better for other people's, but like, there's no reason not to use the double blade.
Yeah.
And then we get our buddy the Shyobird, which I think is just a nice little companion for Cal during this part of the mission. But what do you think to wrap this all up? What do you think of this section of the game? So this section of the game.
I think it was the best one yet of the sections that we've split it into of what we watched. This was my favorite one yet. I really enjoyed it. I thought, you know, the little stop off at the Gladiator station, you know, totally could have done without that. But other than that, phenomenal. You know, Kashyyyk too, a little bit underwhelming so far, but nothing egregious. But really, just the entirety of Zepho Part Two is so brilliantly executed. All these cutscenes and the way that the story is laid out, you know, everything with Trilla, with Cal and Seer, and then just those little moments and little embellishments and details they put in with, you know, Cal, you know, fleshing out, you know, his relationship with BD1, his relationship with Grease, you know, just building up that warm and fuzzy, you know, familial feeling to really great effect. So I was a huge fan of this segment. Absolutely.
I'm very much the same. Best section of the games that we've gotten so far. The Zepho twist is one of the best Star Wars video game moments, like for me ever. And it's just so well done that I can forgive the weird DLC-esque level that is Ordo Arris, and my small cracks related to the storytelling in Kashyyyk starting to form, with the underwhelming, like, just nature of the storylines as connected to the main stuff. But still, there was some beautiful stuff on Kashyyyk. The Zepho 2 stuff was beautiful. I'm really excited to get to next week, which I've already previewed, like just to scan a little bit to see what's going on there. And I think this is my favorite part of the game so far, and that's going to be next week, episode 113 of Star Wars in a Galaxy. But Jacob and I will not be alone. We will be joined by good friend of the show, Epic Confrontation's main character, as we've called him, basically. My good friend, Jared the Dark Jedi of the Nerd Academy podcast. We're so excited for Jared to come on for, I believe, the first time in a few years. I think this is the first time Jared's been on. I think this is the first time Jared's been on in a galaxy in 3 years, actually.
Wow, the
Which
great
is
return. It's upon
crazy to
us.
say. The last time Jared was on here, you know what we were doing?
What were we? I can't even remember.
That would be Malevolence.
Oh my gosh, you are so wow.
Yeah.
Spit up.
It's been since
It's been a
Malevolence.
long time.
It's been a long
It's been a
time,
long time coming. I'm ready. I'm excited. I can't wait.
and believe us, it is not anything against you. I've been on TNAP every single week to discuss Ahsoka, except for this week. I'm not going to go on TNAP, which actually, by the time this comes out, you will have already it this will have already happened. But check out Jacob and I, because we are going to be talking with Scotty J-Row, Jerry the Cannon Junkie, and Adam Frazier about part 8 of Ahsoka that will have come out. We're releasing this on Friday, so and the episode's on Thursday, so it will have come out by the time we put this out. But check us out there. We're so excited that Scotty and Jerry have invited us on, and excited to share the stage with somebody as respected as Adam Frazier. I wasn't gonna say. Oh yeah, but yeah, that's gonna be it for this episode. But until next week, you can follow us on all the social medias at In a Galaxy Pod. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be there. If we're not, email us swinagalaxy@gmail.com, as well as any questions or trivia or fun facts or observations for our episode. You can email us there. And you can find me everywhere. Go to my Linktree, linktr.ee/_OGFan327. It's my Linktree where you can find everything from In a Galaxy, my personal stuff, and then Epic Confrontations, which is on our YouTube channel. We have two matches this month. The first is Jared versus some mystery Schmodown player. And the second one is two new teams making their debut. The Bi Republic from the Wayseeker Alliance, which is going to be Claire Stribling and Bill Sheehy. And Sheev's Shills, which is going to be Jerry from the Bombad cast and Andy from Force Friends Rewatch podcast. We're very excited about those two matches. And yeah, I think I've said everything. So until next time, may the force be with you. Always.
Always.